We pray. Lord, your words, a lantern bright, beaming through the sacred story. Hold our eyes upon this light, we shall nevermore be sorry. For sin's darkness will take flight, and we shall walk on to glory. Amen. In the name of Christ, who wipes away all tears from our eyes, fellow redeemed, is happiness evading you? Does it seem as though it's running away and you can never quite catch up to it? In the Declaration of Independence, we are told that we have a right to the pursuit of happiness. But then we may ask ourselves, why do we have to pursue happiness? Why isn't it just with us all the time? Well, the answer to that is sin. All sadness is somehow or other connected to sin. Either our own sin or that of someone else, either sin itself or else the consequences of sin. Since sin is always present, so also is sadness. This is why, right when you think you've achieved happiness, it slips away, and you have to pursue it again. The smile that adorns the face doesn't stay there. Smiles tend to drift away like the clouds. Well then, if sin is the cause of sadness, why is it that in their pursuit of happiness, so many people turn to the very thing that causes unhappiness? Sin. For example, most of today's comedians don't know how to get a good laugh without telling a dirty story. And then how about you? Do you think that you have to do something wrong or say something bad in order to get your classmates to laugh? If so, I would guess that you are an unhappy person. You see, laughter is not the same as happiness. God says, even in laughter the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. A laughing mouth may be covering up a sad heart, a heart that is crying because of sin, because of the consequences of sin. So you see, the very sin that makes people laugh at jokes brings only more pain. The pain of guilt and of fear. Is it any wonder then that people are constantly trying to find ways to distract themselves? Perhaps we think that if our attention is only turned away from our problems, our pains, our guilt, our fears, then we'll be happy. If only we could be distracted for a while from these things, then we're going to be able to smile. And so we turn to toys and cars and parties, rock concerts, video games, sports, hunting, shopping, whatever we can do to distract ourselves. Question is, can you smile only when you are distracted from the pain in your heart? This may be the reason why some preachers are so successful. They're always preaching happy sermons, distracting sermons, sermons that ignore painful things like sin. And people flock to these kinds of churches, the feel-good churches, because they would rather not face the sadness of their own sinful condition. They do want to continue in their sinful ways, but still be told everything's going to be okay. those who ignore the cause of sadness will always be pursuing happiness and never catching up to it. Happiness will always evade them. It will be just beyond their reach. If you want to make someone else happy, truly happy, you may have to make them sad at first. There is no smile that has not, at some time in the past, been preceded by tears. We all need to face our sins, our guilt, our death, even though that means pain and sorrow. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's what our Lord said. And he didn't just say it, but he did everything necessary to make it a reality. He took our sins, our guilt, our sorrows upon himself. He took our death upon himself. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. By suffering that full punishment for all that we have done, and then by rising again from the dead, he has achieved our salvation. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, and that alone, which cleanses our hearts. He frees us from all of this guilt and fear, and even from death itself. Shortly before his death, Jesus said to his disciples, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. You now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." With hearts then freed from the cause of sadness, we don't have to pursue happiness. By the grace of God, happiness is ours, and nobody can take it away from us. It is ours now, it is ours forever. So now, whenever grief enters into our lives, whenever sin or some consequence of sin afflicts us, we can always return to the source of the happiness. We can go to Calvary. We can look upon the cross. We can go to the empty tomb and gaze within. And then we will be able to walk away from our grief, with a smile within our hearts. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you look upon the hearts in this field house, you know the cause of sorrow in each of us. Likewise, you know how to turn our tears into laughter. You are the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. By your death and resurrection, you have made peace with God. You take away the sorrow over sin by assuring each heart within this place that this peace is our peace, and that our sins are forgiven. Take away the sorrow over the consequences of sin by assuring each of us that these shall not last, and that you shall make them work out for our good. Put within our hearts a smile that endures, the smile of those who know that they are redeemed forever. Hear us for your name's sake. Amen. We sing of our joy with hymn 203. announcements.